There was silence for a few seconds, and then he heard voices. Burglars, he thought, sliding off the bed onto his feet. But a split second later it occurred to him that burglars would keep their voices down, and whoever was moving around in the kitchen was certainly not troubling to do so. He snatched up his wand from his bedside table and stood facing his bedroom door, listening with all his might. Next moment, he jumped as the lock gave a loud click and his door swung open. Harry stood, motionless, staring through the open door at the dark upstairs landing, straining his ears for further sounds, but none came. He hesitated for a moment and then moved swiftly and silently out of his room to the head of the stairs. His heart shot upward into his throat. There were people standing in the shadowy hall below, silhouetted against the streetlight glowing through the glass door, 8 or 9 of them, all, as far as he could see, looking up at him.
"Lower your wand, boy, before you take someone's eye out," said a low, growling voice.
Harry's heart was thumping uncontrollably. He knew that voice, but he did not lower his wand. "Professor Moody?" he said uncertainly.
"I don't know so much about Professor," growled the voice. "Never got round to much teaching, did I? Get down here. We want to see you properly."
Harry lowered his wand slightly, but did not relax his grip on it, nor did he move. He had very good reason to be suspicious. He had recently spent 9 months in what he had thought was Mad-Eye Moody's company, only to find out that it wasn't Moody at all, but an impostor. An impostor, moreover, who had tried to kill Harry before being unmasked. But before he could make a decision about what to do next, a second, slightly hoarse voice floated upstairs.
"It's all right, Harry. We've come to take you away."
Harry's heart leapt. He knew that voice, too, although he hadn't heard it for more than a year.
Professor Lupin?"
he said disbelievingly. "Is that you?"
"Why are we all standing in the dark?"
said a third voice, this one completely unfamiliar, a woman's.
"Lumos!"
A wand tip flared, illuminating the hall with magical light. Harry blinked. The people below were crowded around the foot of the stairs, gazing intently up at him, some craning their heads for a better look. Remus Lupin stood nearest to him. Though still quite young, Lupin looked tired and rather ill. He had more grey hair than when Harry had said goodbye to him, and his robes were more patched and shabbier than ever. Nevertheless, he was smiling broadly at Harry, who tried to smile back through his shock.
"Oh, he looks just like I thought he would,"
said the witch, who was holding her lit wand aloft. She looked the youngest there. She had a pale, heart-shaped face, dark, twinkling eyes, and short, spiky hair that was a violent shade of violet.
"Watcha, Harry?"
"Yeah, I see what you mean, Remus,"
said a bald black wizard standing farthest back. He had a deep, slow voice and wore a single gold hoop in his ear.
"He looks exactly like James."
"Except the eyes,"
said a wheezy-voiced, silver-haired wizard at the back.
"Lily's eyes."
Mad-Eye Moody, who had long, grizzled grey hair and a large chunk missing from his nose, was squinting suspiciously at Harry through his mismatched eyes. One of the eyes was small, dark, and beady, the other large, round, and electric blue, the magical eye that could see through walls, doors, and the back of Moody's own head.